But today we're going to look at, we're going to look at doing missions in a small town. And I'm going to, we're going to look at the scriptures, and we are, I'm also going to give you some personal examples that I have experienced being in Harriet for 8 years. And hopefully it will be an encouragement for you to pray for missions and actually go out and share and extend the gospel to those in your community. So let us pray. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, our good and gracious Lord, we come before you now asking for your wisdom and your grace as we consider doing missions in a small town. We know that you care for those in the cities, those who are in small towns, those who are in villages, and we pray now that you would bless our conversation, help me in the teaching of your word, and we pray that you would receive all the glory and honor that's due unto you. And we pray all these things in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. So I want to start off with a few questions. What are some things that come to mind when you think of missions? What comes to mind? There you go, foreign missions, like the heart of Africa. And I think when people think of the word missions, they often think of foreign missions. And what I want to talk about is not foreign missions, and not talking about going to Africa or the Philippines. Now, certainly, mission works are to be done in those locations, but I think we have to be careful that we don't forget about small towns and our communities. Now, yes, small towns aren't ideal to maybe start a new work, but in rural America, they need the gospel just as much as those people in the cities. And like I said in the beginning here, my purpose is to encourage you to pray for and to extend the gospel to those in your area, as well as share my own experiences. I will use a TV show reference that I know you guys will know. Have you ever heard of Mayberry? What show am I talking about? Andy Griffith Show. So a number of years ago, I saw an article that the title caught my eye was, Would Jesus Go to Mayberry? Would Jesus Go to Mayberry? When I moved to Harriet, I made a lot of Mayberry jokes, but I stopped because I was afraid I was offending some people in Harriet. But it had that feel of, you know, that small town, even what you see in that show. But essentially, the article was asking, would Jesus preach and be interested in small towns? And we're going to look at and answer that question by looking at the scriptures. There will be a couple of scriptures that we turn to, but before we do that, let's consider Jesus' birth and upbringing for a moment. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a small town. We sing a Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And Jesus also grew up in Nazareth. That was a town of about 400 people. So the fact that Jesus was born and raised in low-populated areas shows that God is interested in saving those in small towns. So let's first turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It says here, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So the reference of villages here would refer to country towns of about 20 houses and 150 people. And when Jesus calls his disciples to pray for the Lord of harvest to send out laborers, it includes villages as part of this harvest field. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Then they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And as he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So here, a town here is referring to a larger village of a few thousand people. So looking at these two passages, we see whether a town is big or small, Jesus cares for them all. Let's turn to one more, Acts 8, verse 25. And actually, I'll jump back a little bit in verse 24. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So even the disciples went out and preached the gospel in villages. So would Jesus go to Mayberry? And the answer is yes. And we see that clearly from Scripture. And if Jesus cared for small towns, if the disciples went out and preached the gospel in these areas, then we should. And we shouldn't view small areas as insignificant, because to do so would be going against what we see in the Scriptures. So we see that small towns need the gospel too. We need to be careful not to assume that everybody understands and knows the gospel. If you were to ask somebody, just someone in town, what is the gospel, you might get a whole host of different answers. And just think about how many people live in rural America for a moment. Now, these statistics are a little outdated, but as of 2016, 33 million people live in small towns or in rural areas. And another 33 million and 23 million live in small towns considered urban fringes. So that's 56 million people. The largest city in America is New York, and that is roughly 8 million people. So there are 7 times more people in small towns than in New York City. And now certainly, there are good and sound churches in small towns. There are. But what I want to do is give you 3 reasons why small towns are rich mission fields. And the first reason to do missions in small towns is that there are a lack of sound churches in small towns. We do have good ones, but the options have become fewer and fewer over the years. Now, if you narrow that down to Reformed churches, it becomes even smaller. Now, Sutton is different than most places. Here you have two Reformed churches of the same denomination in three. There's three, all right. So that is very unique. Now, there's also a town in Iowa called Rock Valley, Iowa, that has eight Reformed churches. Once again, that is a rarity. Now, if you go to Iowa, where I lived, they're really, unless you're on the west side of Iowa, everything from the center to the east, there's not a whole lot. I think of my hometown of Garner, Iowa. There's a Reformed church there, but there's not a whole lot anywhere within maybe 30 miles, I think. Maybe even four, and even that is far and few between. And we want people not simply to join a church. We want people to go to churches where the whole counsel of God is preached. And that's not happening in some small towns. Like I know of like a neighboring town near Harriet. The choices of churches is really slim. But let me give you a few examples of my own experience of seeing churches not preach the full counsel of God or preach things that are unbiblical or not wise when it comes to preaching from the pulpit. One pastor in Harriet does not believe homosexuality is a sin. Another pastor in a neighboring town spent a whole sermon critiquing the Black Lives Matter website. Whole sermon. And had like a whole series of sermons dealing with that. And then you also have sermons that I've heard that are full of stories, practical, personal examples, but there's very little biblical content. And the sermons that you do get that are in the Bible, they're turned into moralistic sermons, where it's be like David, be like Moses, and there's very little Christ. When someone tells me, oh, I heard Pastor so and so preach a really good sermon, and then I ask this question: how often do they talk about Christ? They're like, maybe once. It's like, Christ should be in sermons more than just a quick, reference to him. Now, there's another reason for the lack of biblical preaching in churches in small towns. Now, even though we might disagree with Lutherans and Baptists or non-denominational ministers, there are good, solid preachers in those denominations. But the problem is that those good preachers don't want to go to a small town in the middle of nowhere where you have a town of 400 people. Like in Harriet, you have to go 90 minutes to get to a Walmart or McDonald's. It's very wide open up there. So they're limited, and I think of the Baptist church in Harriet. Right now, they're struggling to find people to come and preach, get a minister to stay at their church. And typically in Harriet, especially even in the Reformed Church, they get the new preachers right out of the seminary, like me, and then those pastors stay for about 3-4 years, and then they move on. And they've had that for multiple years, and that can have a negative effect, especially, like when you're fresh out of seminary, your sermons aren't all that good, and it takes time to learn how to preach and learn how to minister to people. And so one thing that you can pray for, not just for this church or the other Reformed churches in town, but pray for the other denominations in this location, pray that they would get good, solid ministers, even if we don't agree 100%. But at least if someone could be at, I don't know, what denominations do you have in Sutton? Well, what I would do is pray that, you know, that that there would be faithful ministers that come to these locations, and because we know that people's hearts will only be changed through the faithful preaching of the word, so pray for the churches in your community. Also, the second reason why we need to do missions in small towns is that's where sinners are. Where there's people, there are sinners. And I think in middle America, we forget this. There's a stereotype of Midwestern people called Minnesota nice. And the Coen brothers depicted this stereotype in the movie Fargo. And this is what Minnesota nice is. It's a cultural stereotype applied to the behavior of people from Minnesota, implying residents are unusually courteous, reserved, mild-mannered, and passive-aggressive. Now, this can be applied to the Dakotas, to Iowa, Nebraska, basically any Midwestern state. And in small towns, they are courteous, friendly, and polite. It might be a stereotype, but there's some truth behind that stereotype. And this can give people the notion that everybody's a good person because no one commits those big sins. And so when something happens in a small town, such as, the neighbor Joe down the street has an affair with his secretary, or Uncle Bob has a drinking problem, or Sweet Sarah has an embezzling problem with the school, they're shocked. And they say, how could something like this happen in our town? But here's the thing, we should be shocked. We shouldn't be shocked. Because, once again, where there are people, there are sinners. And, in big cities it might seem more prevalent, it's because there's more people. Now, the third reason why we need to do missions in small towns is the hope for sinners remains the same. So when you look at Scripture, Jesus doesn't give one message to those in the city and then another message to those in small towns. It's the same message. Let me just give you a couple Scripture passages. First one, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So there, we preach Christ. Whether Jew or Greek, we preach Christ. And then if you go to Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what does neighbor Joe, who committed adultery, need? What does Uncle Bob need, who gotten drunk for the 100th time? What does Sweet Sarah need to hear after getting caught embezzling money? They need to hear the same thing. They need to hear of the hope of the gospel of Christ, how Christ has come to save sinners like them and us. And just like every mission field, small towns have their own set of struggles. And I want to talk about a few of the struggles that I've seen over the course of 8 years at Harriet. The first struggle is a smaller population. Harriet is, I didn't know how big Sutton was until I talked to Carl. And you guys have a Subway and Dollar General, so you guys are really hopping. Yeah, I know. Harriet is about 400 people, maybe a little bit more than that. And the last big boom that I remember, it was in 2015. It was six people, and Angie and I were two of those. So there isn't much growth. It stays relatively steady. And with such a small population, getting new members is much slower and not as prevalent. In Harriet, we have seen new members come in, but it is slower. It's not going to be as fast and large as maybe what you would see in a bigger city. But the second struggle is the older population. In Harriet and the surrounding towns, these towns are considerably older. And once again, this is not just a South Dakota problem. This is a problem in a variety of small towns. Younger people are moving to the cities. Older people are moving into the nursing homes. And then you have people that are moving on to eternity. There's a lot of moving going on. But know this. The gospel is not just for young people. Gospel is also for older people as well. Sin doesn't discriminate. Sweet little old ladies in the nursing homes, they're just as sinful as the 20-year-old. I experienced that when I was I worked at Staples, and I basically this older couple lied to me and got a discount that they shouldn't got a discount on. But I was fooled because I thought, well, you know, people that 65 and older, they don't lie. Well, they do. So what I want to say here is you should be happy if five people in their 80s come to this church and become members just as much as you would five 18-year-olds. We should be happy, whether young or old, that are saved in Christ. Now, the third struggle is the prevalence of sports and school activities. And, you know, I'm not that old, but I'm guessing that it's that the busyness has increased, at least from my perspective. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I didn't notice it all that much, but there's such an assortment of things going on that there's little time for the church. And sports activities are good. I love my sports, but it's a sad thing when the sports take up the priority. Once again, not just a small town issue. This is a cultural issue. And it seems like the church gets 2 days in the week. You get Wednesday, you get Sunday. And what happens is that makes it hard to schedule anything on another day of the week. Can we, you know, schedule something on Saturday and get a good turnout? Because there might be a tournament going on that weekend, you know? And because of this, you know, you might see even events and like, or even Bible studies or other activities in the church seem quite small because everybody's so burnt out. There's so much going on, so many events. I don't blame families wanting to stay home on Wednesday and just have some family time because there's no family time except for maybe Wednesday and Sunday. And it's a challenge. Now, the question I have for you is that prevalent in Sutton, Nebraska? is there assortment of activities, and it's a challenge to really do anything on a different day. Now, the fourth struggle is the temptation to keep the peace rather than preach the gospel. When you live in a small town, everybody knows everybody, right? And if one person is upset at you, you're bound to have multiple people upset at you. And when you're a town of 400 people in like Harriet, if you have 10 people upset at you, it's going to feel like the whole town is upset at you. And if you upset one person in a family, you might have the whole family upset at you. I've had that happen to me before. You upset one, you upset them all. And I think because of this wanting to keep the peace, because you're in a small town, and boy, if you're not liked in a small town and you're on the outside, it can be tough, very, very tough. But because of this wanting to keep the peace, that there's this fear of talking about biblical things. And there's nothing wrong with this, but oftentimes the conversation is, in Harriet, is weather, farming, and sports. And those are less controversial. I'm sure you can get in arguments about the weather. But they don't want to step on toes. But here's the thing. We should have a social life. We should talk about with people in our community. But we shouldn't be afraid to bring up things that we hear on Sunday morning, or something that maybe you hear something in the sermon that applies to a particular situation of someone in your community. Don't be afraid to bring up Scripture. So I talked about the struggles, but there are many benefits of living in a small town. Being a pastor in a small town, there are many opportunities to evangelize the lost, and I want to give a couple examples of what we have experienced in Harriet over the course of 8 years. And so, living in a small town, you get plenty of opportunities to talk with people at community events. Angie has been very good, my wife, has been very good at getting out into the community and being a part of groups in the area. She has built relationships with women by participating in Zumba, going to women's Bible studies at the Baptist church she's gone to. She's also part of Town and Country Gals, which sets up a whole assortment of events in town. She also has music lessons that she was doing before we had Ezra. She'd have about 8 to 12 students. And with having all these activities, she's actually had opportunities to talk about the gospel with other people and to bring up things that, even with the Bible study that she went to, it was a benefit to her going there and adding to the conversation. And if she wasn't a part of these groups and active in these groups, these opportunities wouldn't be there. And there has been fruit of her interacting in the community. For example, we have Community VBS, Vacation Bible School, and we have our own. And we actually had a lot of kids from our community come to our VBS as well as our Reformation Day party that we do. This year for VBS, we had 18 to 20 children, and half of those were those on the outside, not a part of our church. And Angie had even said, talking with some of these parents, that they actually chose their kids to go to our VBS over the community VBS because they knew that their kids were going to learn the scriptures. They're going to learn something. They're going to remember something. And I participate in both. I participate in the community, VBS, as well as our own. But I would say that's a very encouraging thing when those in the community want their kids to go to a vacation Bible school because they want their kids to learn. And kids want to learn. They don't just want the fun stuff. They want the fun stuff, but that's not all they want. There was a sixth grader that was from the Baptist church that came to our vacation Bible school, and she asked me a question about the Trinity. And I got to, you know, do my diagram charting and all this stuff and explain the Trinity to her, and she was kind of in awe because no one had ever explained the Trinity to her. And also this young gal also loved doing the memory verses. And not just the small ones. She wanted to challenge herself. She wanted the big ones. So even there, you have those evangelistic opportunities with the youth in the community. Also, second, I have seen living in a small town is I've had multiple forms of unity multiple forms of media to extend the gospel. In small towns, oftentimes cable companies or newspapers are looking for content. In Harriet, we once a year, each pastor in our county gets a month to write a short devotional in the newspaper. Basically most of the sermons are on the local cable channel, free of charge, sermons, services, which unfortunately that's going to be going away because our telecommunications company is no longer going to do that, do cable. So that's kind of a bummer. But you know, with this cable company that we have, it not only covers Campbell County, it also goes to Eureka and also a few other Ipswich. Those are some towns in the surrounding areas. So it covers a 50-mile radius. We also have multiple churches, such as Eureka and a Presbyterian church in Pollock. They have their services on the radio every Sunday. So there's opportunities for the gospel to go out. And so even though someone may not be coming through the doors, you at least know someone's hearing the gospel through these forms of media. And then we have a third benefit. Benefit of living in a small town is that there are multiple opportunities to preach the gospel outside the context of worship. So, for example, I before COVID kind of screwed everything up, but I was filling in 3 to 4 times at different nursing homes or assisted living. And that was very helpful because we had those who were shut in that couldn't come to church, but at least I could come and do a service every now and then. Is there an opportunity to do that here in Sutton?
Yeah, we have a nursing home here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, that's a great opportunity, and I'm so glad that it's things are starting to get back to normal because there I couldn't go in for, you know, basically I think it was a year and a half, 2 years because you know they had requirements. You had to be vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated, then you can't come in. They opened the door, they opened it up, and I preached once, and then they put another restriction, and then I couldn't come in anymore. And that was very, very hard. So you have those opportunities. Here's another question for you. Do pastors pray for Memorial Day services and stuff like that? Or do like a Bach clarinet service? Okay. Now, is that a small thing, or do you do it for the whole town?
That is for the entire school.
Okay, entire school. So Harriet is the same way. So In Harriet, we have the opportunities where we do the Bach Clarinet service, and also during Memorial Day and Veterans Day, there's prayer. And I think for one of those, I can't remember if it's the Memorial Day service or Veterans Day service, there's usually like a 10-minute devotional that you can do as well. And that's unique, because you don't really see that in the big cities. And the nice thing is in small towns, they want that good relationship with the churches in the community. And because of that, there are more opportunities to do things and do it at the school. And it's such a wonderful thing. Like Garner, Iowa, I think more of, you know, the liberal mindset and everything is starting to infiltrate the schools and stuff like that, and that's unfortunate. But in small towns like Sutton or Harriet, I mean, Harriet is I'd say there's no other place in the world like it. I talked to Lee Johnson before I moved to Harriet. I said, "Well, what's Harriet like?" Harriet like, and he said, "Well," he said, "when I was there," which he would have been there in 2005 to 2009 or something, somewhere around there. He said it was like the 1950s. He says now it's probably like the 1960s. You know, there's maybe a little crime. They actually had a key to lock the parsonage. So it was just different. We should be very thankful for those opportunities to proclaim the gospel in our communities. So I want to close with this. I want to close with a story that I experienced. So in my third year as a pastor, we lost two elders in a span of 5 months. They both moved away. One moved to Eureka, one moved to Minnesota. We lost their wives, and there was five children. And in a span of 5 months, that was brutal, extremely discouraging. Yet, in our fourth and fifth year we gained two young families with three children. Now they have more kids, so now they're up to six. But what's funny is that those two new families that joined our church sit in the exact same spots as where those two elders used to sit, which I just thought was neat. So why did they come? They came because someone invited them to church. And statistically, people are more likely to come to church if one of the members asks than the pastor. And so, at the very least, the thing that you can do is have conversations with people in town, get to know people in town, and invite them to church. Because you know that even if you can't necessarily, or maybe don't even have the time to really articulate the gospel, you at least know on Sunday morning they're going to come and they're going to hear the gospel. And it's through the preaching of the gospel that hearts are changed. So I want to close with one other scripture passage, Romans 10. Romans 10. Carl, I don't think you're going to have to use the shepherd's hook to pull me out. I was concerned with timing, but it ended up working out well. But let's. Okay, all right. And you don't have like a trap door if you don't. If I go too long,
and I would tell you.
All right. So Romans 10. I'm going to read verses 11 through 17. Says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who calls upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's through the preaching of the word that hearts will be changed. Something that I always have to remind myself, and I have to say it to myself all the time, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I cannot change hearts. All I can do is give the message and pray that the Lord will do the work. And if you do anything, the one main thing you can do is pray. Pray for your pastor. Pray for those in your community that they would come to know Christ. All right, let us pray. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we could discuss doing missions in small towns. We pray that you would help us to be a light to those who are in darkness. And we do ask that you would save those who are lost in our communities, that you would help us to build those relationships, to have conversations with others. And we are grateful that we are not sovereign, that we can't change hearts, but we know that you are sovereign and you can change hearts, and you will do it in your timing. So Lord, may you prepare our hearts for worship this day. May you be with me as I proclaim your word, and may you be honored everything that is said, and we thank you for the grace that you've shown on us. We now pray all these things in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.